Record on this computer. Oh, it's already recording. Okay. I don't know if it's recording up or recording down. All right, I'll find it after. 3, 2. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Brad Chandler, president of Brad Chandler Coaching, where he helps you transform your life to achieve the happiness and freedom you deserve. He helps people identify their self-limiting and false beliefs so they can remove these blockages and step into their true genius. I've asked Brad to join us here today so we can all better achieve our true potential. So Brad, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here. Now I wanted to ask, because before you got into the hypnosis and the, what was it, this RT and the CBT and the NLP and the helping change lives, how did you even get involved in this? Are your parents into healing and peak performance and business, or how did you even get started?
So 2.5 years ago, I was trying to help my son. He had major anxiety. And I was on the call, a Zoom call like this with a performance coach. And she told me that I had a tic. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, you blink profusely when you talk about your childhood. You may have some unresolved childhood trauma that's affecting your son and your life. Do you want to come out and work with me and my ex-Navy SEAL husband? And so I did. And in a 3-hour session, I walked out of that Airbnb bedroom like a completely different human being.
Wow. That's fantastic. We talked about this before at the beginning of the call, and I can really resonate with that because it wasn't until in my late 20s, I read this book called Primal Wound. You had mentioned something to it earlier. So I was adopted as a child, and this book Primal Wound talks about the psychological scar that happens because you're taken from your mom, that even though you're not aware of the world, that your consciousness is, and that leaves a scar. That's a primal wound. And until I read that book, I had never... Because when I tell people I was adopted, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'd be like, oh, okay, jerk. I didn't have any contrast. I'm sorry, why? All I've known, I don't know what you're talking about. But as you talk about that and mention that, and as things that I've overcome, I fully respect it. I've seen people self-sabotage too. They're like, okay, so that's how you got started. And then what? You're like, I'm a new man. And what? You decided to get in and do it and help others? Or I imagine there was a journey.
Literally, I came home. So for 47 years, I had this fairly successful real estate flipping company, but I didn't really know what I was doing on the planet. And it's really hard to figure out your life's purpose when you've got the proverbial lion chasing you. And we killed that lion in Park City in that weekend. So when I came back, once you'd go through the work and again, kill that lion, get yourself out of this fight or flight, I was able to look around and take a couple deep breaths. And my life was so profoundly changed. And I started to think about why did we have all these problems in this world? Why do we have problems all over everywhere you look? And it all comes down to this very simple formula. Like childhood programming makes us have a certain belief about ourselves that gets deeply seated in our subconscious that drives our behavior, drives 95% of our behavior, your subconscious mind, and you don't even know about it. So when I came home, Daryl, and I looked around, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I just won the lottery. I feel like I have now understand the secret to life, which no one really ever teaches you. And so I was like, how can I not give this back? Someone just gave me a bunch of lottery tickets. Am I going to keep them or am I going to hand them out? Because I've already got my lottery ticket. So I decided to hand out a bunch of lottery tickets. And that's what I've done now for the last year and a half is help people transform their life. And it's been a beautiful thing.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And very rewarding work, I'm sure.
So way more than flipping houses. When you get a text from someone that says, thank you for changing my life and my family's life, it's better than $100,000, $200,000 deal like any day.
So talk me through that process. Because obviously you've been doing this for a number of years now. What, 5, 6, 7 years, I think? How old's the company?
No, two.
The company's 2 years old. You've been doing this, but you had to develop the skill set before you felt probably capable. And what was that like? Were you like, here, I'm gonna change your life, and then it didn't work, and you had to go, oh no, I gotta learn something new, or what?
No, I got to tell you that. So I was trained by an ex-Navy SEAL. So he brought me through my transformation. I flew out to Park City. I saw him take 7 or 8 people through the process. And then I've got this unquenchable thirst. Like I've never found anything in my life that I've been so passionate and purposeful. So I can't get enough. So I went from him to a guy named Gabor Maté that's been doing this for 40 years. He's a physician from Canada and he specializes in trauma and addiction. So I took his course. And then I went through RT, which is Rapid Transformational Therapy, which is a 500-hour online course with a week intensive in LA. And on top of that, I've read 50 books. No, from the get-go, I had success very early on, just knowing what I knew from the ex-Navy SEAL. And then I just kept building. And I feel like I've just gotten better each week that's gone by.
which is fantastic. What would you recommend to people that are either starting out with this kind of thing or struggling? Like, first, how do people even know they have a problem?
Yeah, all change begins with awareness. So if we'd have had this conversation like 3 years ago and I heard this topic of self-love, if you lack self-love, then every area of your life is negatively affected to some degree. So if I'd have heard, oh, do you have self-love? I'd have been like, of course I have self-love. Of course I have high self-esteem. And I don't give a shit what other people think. It was all a lie. So in the last year and a half, I built this self-love quiz. It takes two and a half minutes. It's 12 questions. Go to bradchandler.com/quiz. Take the quiz. If you have extreme self-love, I bet every area of your life is hitting. I bet your relationships are good. Your health is good. Your business is good. If you have mild self-love or lack of self-love, I bet you that there are multiple areas of your life that are struggling. But don't take that as woe is me. Take that as, oh my God, my life can profoundly change. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would start. Take the quiz, because if you have extreme self-love, there's nothing I can do or pretty much anyone else can do because everything's probably great. Very mm-hmm. few people, though, unfortunately, have extreme self-love.
Yeah, this is important and it's relevant. We talked about on the meet and greet when I mentioned why I wanted to interview you. Our research, we spent $50,000 on trying to dive into the what makes or breaks success in a business. And one of the key, we found 8 critical success factors. And one of them was self-efficacy, being able to get the work done. There's so many people that are in businesses where it's like the book report from school they just can't focus on. And it's because they're not interested in it, or they have a self-limiting belief, or they're afraid of success. They have mental blockages and it's real. And I did work for one of the gurus of gurus in terms of the whole manifestation once upon a time, but I think it's one element of many. But the self-efficacy, the discipline, the mental health, like you talk about self-love, the leadership skills, the personality traits, being comfortable, being willing to accept criticism and feedback, right? Constructive criticism and feedback. There's people that won't. And part of why they won't is because they've got a thorn in their psyche and they just don't touch it. Don't touch it. Leave me alone. They have this big wall up. So I think you're hitting on something that's really important. So go do the quiz. Go do the quiz at bradchandler.com. That's the domain, right? Bradchandler.com. Yep. Do the self-love quiz and see where you score. And then what happens if they do the score and they suck? I thought I loved myself, but the thing says I don't.
So look, you're a human being. You get to live your life just the way it is. If you're suffering now, you can decide I'm going to suffer the rest of my life. Or you can say, you know what? I don't deserve to suffer. I was put here to be joyous and have deep connections. And so you've got to do the work. How do you do the work? I have found in my 2 years of thousands and thousands of hours of research and client time that there's 3 critical components to permanently changing a mental state. Number one, you've got to have awareness for what is causing your suffering in the first place. I think the best thing on the planet for that is the use of hypnosis, because hypnosis accesses your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind knows the source of your problem, and your subconscious mind drives 95% of your behavior. So number one, if you're going to do any type of therapy, life coaching, whatever, you've got to get to the source to heal the pain, whether it's physical or mental. Number two is you've got to rewire those thoughts. So through neuroplasticity, which is a fancy way of saying your brain's natural ability to regrow new neural pathways so that you can change your thinking and thus radically change your behavior, we do that. I create a tailored-made recording at the end of the hypnosis session. You listen to that over and over again as you're going to sleep at night when your brain is in an alpha wave brain state, which means it's highly suggestible. That's number two. The third critical piece, Daryl, is that now that you're aware and you've started or you have rewired your brain, you've got to condition. You've got to continue the conditioning. It's like working out. How do you do that? You use a daily emotional tracker that I created to process your emotions. So when these negative emotions come up and you're in fight or flight, there's a way to process them. You're able to look and say, oh, I feel sad because, oh, my dad didn't show up to 6 of my hockey games. Am I 6 years old or 8 years old anymore needing my dad's love? No. So boom, you snap right back to joy. So those three things are critical. And so much of therapy and quote life coaching, they don't have it. It doesn't exist. So people go to, I love Tony Robbins, but you go to a Tony Robbins convention, you get all riled up. You come home and you look around, you're like, shit, wait, nothing's changed. Because until you go to the subconscious mind and figure out those beliefs, it's going to be really hard for you to change.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with all that 100%. If whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. I think that's an important part of that. So 1,000%. So that's really powerful. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see your clients making?
You mean in the process or prior to coming to me?
Perhaps both. I'm just trying to help people identify some red flags for themselves.
That might be. So, Really great question, by the way. So the mistake before they meet me is that they think that they've tried everything and there's nothing else to do. And unless you've tried this hypnosis route, most of my clients, including myself, went to 3 decades of therapy. So if you're suffering, no matter what it is, from a mental state, or you have eating problems, or you're overweight, or bad marriage, you don't have to settle for any of that. Like, it can all be changed, and it doesn't take years of talk therapy. It took me 3 hours to have my massive shift, and my clients now see massive shifts between 3 and 5 hours. So that's just not loving themselves and living the truth. That's why we suffer. As human beings, we only suffer when we live in the untruth. And that's what most of us do. The most mistakes that clients make when they're with me is they go through the hypnosis process in week 3. They have this massive shift, and then they take their hands off the wheel and they're like, I got this. I don't have to do any work. And then they start shifting back. So you can have this massive transformation between hour 3 and 5, but you got to continue to do the work. You can't just, it's just like you lose 20 pounds and then be like, I'm good. And then the weight comes back. You've got to condition it.
Yeah, it's got to be a lifestyle thing. I can really agree with that. And to say, to feed back to what you're saying about the hypnosis, I know some people might think that's kind of wooey woo-foo stuff. I actually was just recently reading, I thought it was very interesting. I was reading this CIA declassified document on like a meditation program that they've been looking into. And one of the reasons that they said that it worked was because it helped bypass the left brain. So it's like the left hemisphere is a filter. It's our logical reasoning, you know, it's the filter, and it filters all the info that goes to our right brain. And then our right brain connects with the creative, the absolute, as they called it. And so what you're talking about is that you, when you're hypnosis or right before bed, when you're falling asleep, your brain is more suggestible because you're out, the left hemisphere is shut down and things are going right into the right hemisphere, which is the creative, the symbolic. It's where all the problem solving happens, right? The other side is just very like step one. It's almost like an ant. This one's like an ant, and it just follows step one, step two, step three. Let me follow that scent, that trail. But if the trail is missing, yeah, it panics. And that's when the right side has to create, how do we get around and make a new trail? And like you said, all that unconscious stuff they think lives in the right hemisphere. So that was very.
So I was a month ago or so, I was watching the Tiger Woods documentary with my son, who's a really good golfer himself. And there was a part in it towards the end of the first, there's only 2 episodes in it. And it talked about how, I'm pretty sure he grew up, even though his dad was an Army Ranger, for some reason, he grew up in San Diego or Southern California on a Navy base, or at least that's where he played golf. And they used to say how Tiger would get in the flow. And you remember when Tiger's eyes were like, when he was dialed in, he was dialed in. Guess what? Earl Woods, Tiger's dad, had a good friend that he played golf with who taught Tiger how to self-hypnotize himself. So when he was in those zones, he was in a hypnotic state.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense, where you transcend, where you're not thinking, you're just doing. You're in the zone in the moment. I love that.
Yep.
And the other thing that you touched on, I think, is really important as well, is it's not, unfortunately, unlike a lot of people want, it's not like you achieve something and now you are ordained perfect. It's like health and fitness. Like, you might be healthy and fit today, but it doesn't mean you can give up all those habits. So what are some of the habits that you think are most important to maintain like a healthy state of mind and success?
It's living in the truth. It's living in the truth. It's remaining present, and it's welcoming conflict within you. So what most human beings do is when they feel that internal bad feeling, negative feeling, they reach for the bottle of alcohol, the joint, the sex, I'm going to go on a trip. I'm going to go buy something. I'm going to go eat something. And it doesn't work, right? Reach for their antidepressant. It just doesn't work. What you have to do is you've got to sit with that. You've got to process it. You've got to figure out where it's coming from, and then it dissipates. And the more you do that, you take these triggered states from days, weeks to hours, and then minutes, and then seconds. So it's welcoming conflict on a personal level in your intimate relationship. That's where unresolved childhood trauma will most rear its ugly head, but that's the greatest place in the world to resolve it. So if you have a spouse and you have conflict, welcome conflict, because if you play fairly and you really do love each other and you want the best, conflict will actually heal yourself and then draw you closer to your partner. Because remember this, problems in relationships, in intimate relationships, are never about the actual relationship. It's always the relationship each individual has with themselves.
That is such a powerful statement. Can you go back through that again? I just think that's an incredibly... This was something like I talked about when I read that book for myself. That was like, oh, I'm messing up my relationship. So I just think this is such a powerful point. Can you go back? Can you go into this more, please?
Yeah. So the problem in relationships is never the actual relationship between the two people. The problem in relationship is the relationship each individual has with themselves. So one of my clients, had a lot of successful clients, but one of my clients came to me on the brink of divorce. Fast forward 8 months and his marriage is completely changed. Did I ever meet his wife? Did I ever talk to her? Did I ever have a marriage counseling session? No. I worked on him and his beliefs and he changed those and now they're thriving in their marriage. So that's why I went to 50 different marriage counseling sessions and I had two marriages that didn't work out is because I thought it was the relationship. We have to hold hands more and talk about back what she said and go on more date nights. But let me tell you, none of that shit works when you feel unworthy. And when you feel unworthy, Daryl, you're always going to go find another person to pair with that feels unworthy. You're never going to go find someone enlightened that has extreme self-love if you have lack of self-love. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, like birds of a feather flock together. So this, you're just going to jump from trauma to trauma and you're caught in a pattern. And you can't see the forest from the trees. So you're just in it. I love that. So what do you think the future of things are in terms of where is things going? We've now have AI. The world is becoming more and more digital. People, you could say we're in some ways becoming more disconnected. How do you think that's going to play out?
So we are becoming more disconnected. And that's at the core of all suffering. The untruth is the disconnection from yourself. So as you go through childhood trauma and stress, you have to disconnect from yourself because you've got to get away from the pain. So while the world is more disconnected and you never have to leave your home, you can you could do everything. You could train, you could get your hair cut, everything you can do from home. I do feel on a positive note that there is a higher vibration happening. There's a lot of people, and as I've gotten in this space, there's more and more people that are starting to see like we can change the world. And I turned 50 two months ago, and I'm going to manifest that I'm going to live to at least 110, and I'm going to try so hard to affect at least 1 million people. And sometimes I think I'm shooting myself short. I think I'm going to try to be a huge part of screaming this from the rooftops that, listen, guys, the number one problem in this world, we talk about a pandemic or an epidemic, it's an individual's lack of self-love and self-compassion. That's our problem. You want to look at prisons being full, hospitals being full, the obesity rate, the addiction rate, the war in Ukraine, sex trafficking. I'll go on and on. Give me a problem, I'll trace it back to an individual's self-love and lack of self-love and self-compassion. So look, you don't have to go through 30 years of therapy. You can, in a matter of weeks, radically change your life. So I'm trying to use things like AI and use what some people think are the bad things in the world to create positive change.
That's really powerful. And I do agree. I think that there's definitely a connection there. I think when people are lost, like you mentioned before, they try to fill the void with something, with, like you said, drugs or sex or whatever that is. And that becomes a problem in its own. And one of the things, at least for me, I battled with addiction before. And then once I had made an obscene amount of money working with clients in that, and I was fully in control of my own schedule. I had enough money in the bank. I could take a year off. Then it was kind of like, why can't I wake up and smoke a joint? Whatever. I'll show up to this client call high. I don't care. I don't need them. I got a whole year in the bank. They're going to need to accept me for who I am. But then because I didn't, it was almost like because the crutches that had kept me in check, needing to show up and be professional, needing to keep the job, needing to all these things, because those were all gone. I had a level of freedom where all of a sudden the guardrails were off. And then it was like, why am I doing these things? Like, why is that a reward? I talked to my group, I call her my wife. It's going to be almost 7 years for us. We're not married yet, though. Our daughter is going to be 5 soon. And I talked to her about, we have to be careful what we tell our daughter is a reward. Okay, you did good at school today. Go have some cotton candy. I'm like, that is dangerous because we're training her that the reward is the cotton candy. We're now, when she gets older, I deserve cotton candy. I'm a good person. I did good today. I deserve to snack on all this stuff all day, every day.
Or just the opposite. If I had a bad day, I'm going to turn to the cotton candy because that's what used to make me feel good as a kid.
That is very true. So there really is an important, not like understanding of psychology and how it works at play here. I think this is a really fascinating thing. People may want to make sure that they take their notes on this. If they haven't already, go back and start from the beginning and listen again. So Now, you said you had your breakthrough in 3 hours. Someone that's skeptical, that kind of thing can happen. Like, what allows that to happen? Why aren't you? Obviously, you're not as profitable if you're cured in 3 hours than if it takes 3 years of therapy. But what is the process that allows that? How do you collapse time?
Yeah, so it's a real simple process, right? Is you go back in your childhood and you figure out the scenes that were the cause of your stress. And those scenes usually involve some type of stress or trauma or lack of control. And you figure out what was the story you told yourself. So in my situation, my dad would hit me with a belt. My parents would fight a lot. So why is this happening? Why are these bad things happening to me? My brain at 6 years old did what it was supposed to do. My brain did what it was supposed to do. And that is, it gave me a reason and a story why this is happening. I'm 6 years old. Something's bad is happening to me. I must be bad. So you find out what are those stories. And at 47 years old, my subconscious was still telling me, you're bad. You're not worthy. So we just told myself a better story. The truth is, there was nothing wrong with me. My dad hit me because, number one, he had his own set of issues, but he thought by hitting me, it was helping me. And so I just rewrote my story.
That is so powerful. And I don't know if anyone caught that, but you grew up when you were 47 years old. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. I used to think that all the time. I felt like I had accomplished so much. Sorry, this is going to be me ranting about me, but I speak 3 languages. I traveled the world. I've climbed Mount Fuji. I've done all these things. I was almost bored with life. I've helped companies make millions of dollars. I've achieved all the things I want to achieve. In some ways, I was really bored. And then I had kids, and all of a sudden checkers became 3D chess. That's over a multi-generational timeline. So I love that. There's never no limit to it. Is that, would you say that? This is something that's a constant refining process, I think. And yeah.
Look, this is just the tip of the iceberg. My life has changed so radically, and I don't have bad days anymore. I'm hardly ever triggered. It's usually the people closest to me, my daughter, who triggers me. But have I learned everything? I spent 2 hours on the phone with a guy who was talking about spirituality and the fact that our souls have been here before and that we've come from different planets. And I want to, who knows if any of that stuff is true, but I'm certainly going to read a lot into it and try some of it. I literally have an appointment with a medium. I have an appointment with a little bit of a shoulder issue with a healer, and I'm just going to try it. It's going to cost me $200, but no, this is a lifelong journey. It's an amazing journey. And I'm so excited to not only help to go through my journey, but to help others who want to start and go on this journey too.
Yeah. I think it's really important because, especially with the pandemic, a lot of people have mental health issues. And something that I'm going to point out, and whenever you're hearing this, may or may not be a factor, but in my own neighborhood, for example, there's a gentleman, I go for a walk with my family every afternoon for dinner or after dinner. And there's a gentleman that we see who rides his bike. He never stops. He never talks to anybody. He's riding his bike around the neighborhood and he's wearing a mask. And I can't help but wonder, who are you protecting, bro? Are you trying to protect me? Are you trying to protect yourself? Do you see the world as a hostile place? PTSD is when someone goes to war and they adopt new behaviors to survive in the war environment. And then the war is over, or they come home and they maintain those behaviors. That is PTSD. There's a psychological scar where they're maintaining behaviors that may or may not be good, despite the absence of the need of them. And I feel like civilians all around us everywhere have PTSD. I'm a civilian too. I don't want to give the wrong impression. I did cadets, but civilians everywhere have PTSD from what's gone on, for whether it's having witnessed the loss of a loved one, just the fear of something coming and, oh my gosh, cases are going up, or all that sort of stuff. And so I really think that this is an important time for humanity where, you know, kind of like the yin and yang or a swinging pendulum, because there's been so much hurting and pain, I feel like this is an opportunity for us to really bounce back and almost usher in a new golden era. There's a book called The Fourth Turning, and then they talk about kind of generational seasons. And right now we are in the winter, and basically these last around 20 years, although some of them are expanding. This one's set to end around 2035. And there's two ways it can go. Either we come out and we heal as a species, because this is a global one. Typically it would be separate. A different country would have its own kind of rotation, but right now the world is in the grips of it. Or so we have a dystopian future, or we have a new golden era. where we fix a lot of these parasitic things that are holding people back and heal a lot of these damages, heal a lot of the people of the world. So I really think what we're doing, what you're doing, is an important part of that, because if someone has trauma, it's almost like the karmic wheel. Whether you believe in karma or not, the concept, I think, really rings true. And like you just mentioned, you'll see it in your relationships, right? The karmic wheel is that you keep churning through being reborn. If you believe in reincarnation, it's fine if you do or don't. But the concept is that you keep being reincarnated until you've healed or dealt with all your karma. And basically what you're saying is, in your relationships, whether they're romantic or business, the way you're going to react, like, the problems in a lot of these relationships are never about you. They're about, what did you say? It's about the playing out the childhood trauma. It's about your relationship with yourself that's playing out with windows. And that's, it's just so karmic. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of mental health issues. And despite what some people want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with your brain. There are so few people that were born with mental illnesses. Yep. Almost every mental illness on the planet is from your childhood and your upbringing. So you weren't born that way. You learned it. So it means you can unlearn it. So you can live a joyous life. You just have to be willing and ready to do the work.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I do. I think we come out like a bit of a clean slate, and that these things happen to us. And it's how the nature versus nurture. It's a bit of both. Being an orphan, I actually connected with my half brothers and sisters, and I found some striking similarities that we have, even interests and things like that. And oh, that's the nature. But based off of decisions and all our perspectives on life, there's a whole lot of nurture that goes into that as well. You don't need no more meds. I know so many people that deal with depression. I'm like, you don't need meds. You need to wake up, eat some oatmeal, go get some exercise, fresh air and sunshine, and hang out with trees and call some friends. That's what you really
need. Well, you need to start. You need to live in the truth. But Paxil, which is the most prescribed antidepressant, I think, in the last 100 years, has the same effectiveness as a placebo. It's 50%.
Right. Yeah, but you pay them every month, so it's good. It's good for the companies. They want to keep pushing it on you.
Yeah.
This stuff is such nonsense. Brad, this has been such a great call. I want to ask you, is there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have asked you about this topic?
So I think you would ask me, like, where do people fall down, and how can someone, like, remain in the state? And it's really around the daily emotional processing, right? So I created I'd like to give your listeners something else. I created a tracker, emotional tracker. And at the top of it, it literally writes out exactly how you process your emotions. When you feel something negative, that means you're in fight or flight. You take a couple deep breaths. You get yourself in the present moment, because if you're in fight or flight, you're in the past or the future. Then you say, what am I feeling? I am feeling, not I am, because I am is the identity. I'm feeling sad because feelings come and go. Then you give yourself compassion for that emotion, because the person who's feeling sad is really your 6-year-old version of yourself. So instead of being like, suck it up and do go whatever, you shouldn't be sad. Say, it's okay. It's okay, Brad, or it's okay, Daryl, that you're sad. I got you. And then you try to figure out where it came from. And if you're in a relationship, you can say to your wife, hey, Jan, what you did just made me feel this way. It's not your fault, but it made me feel this way. Can we process this? Right. And then you process it as a couple, and you can actually heal. So if anyone wants that tracker, just go to bradchandler.com/tracker, and you can download it for free.
Perfect. bradchandler.com/tracker. Go get the emotional tracker. I think that is so important. Emotions are emotion. I learned this when I was a kid. I worked at this hockey camp, and this guy, I actually don't know, remember his name. I honestly think it was Jim Rohn. I don't even know if he was alive then, but the dude was Jim Rohn. Like, whether he was Jim Rohn or he was some old guy that acted like Jim Rohn, I don't even remember at the time, because I was like 18. I was an 18-year-old kid. I don't, now I'm 40, but he taught me that. He said, emotion is energy in motion. Worry will give you an ulcer. What is that? You're gnawing on things. Right? That energy is at play in your body. So there's real objective, logical, science-backed reasons to believe in this sort of thing, and the importance of addressing it, the importance of eliminating blockages. I know that can be like an energy working kind of wooey woo-foo kind of term. And it might have the sense of, oh, I just eliminate the blockage, like the manifestation, but there is reality that's to it. And I think that there needs to be an objective approach. And with this stuff, I think it's worth testing, because no one is going to come and save you. All the people listening to this, no one is going to come and save you. You have to save yourself. We all are facing battles. Everyone is facing quiet battles of desperation. If you don't think so, you just don't know what the other person is desperate about. Everybody is facing challenges that they're trying to overcome. And it's really us against ourselves. Every day we have to wake up. Every day we have to perform. I think weekends are like a society created construct. When you look outside, the birds, the bees, the squirrels, the frogs, none of them get to take a day off. There's no bird that's going to be like, hey, cat, it's Sunday. You got to come back tomorrow. I'm not eating today. It's my day off. I earned a holiday. It's just not a real thing in the real natural law of the world. And so every day we have to wake up and we have to make decisions. And those decisions either take us towards our goal or away from our goal. Everything is vibrating. Everything is in motion. Nothing is constant. And so this is the baggage you carry with yourself. Those handicaps, they handicap you all the time. In fact, I talk about, it's funny, most nights, 90%, 95%, I get good sleep. I did not sleep a full amount last night. But we talk about how like truck drivers have to legally get a certain amount of rest per hours on the road, because otherwise it's the equivalent of driving drunk, right?
And how it's many actually people, worse.
Right. It's worse. It's worse. It's more dangerous. So how many people are trying to run their business and they're in grind mode and they're on like 4 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep, and they're stacking day after day after day of these intoxicated decisions, these right imperfect decision-making compared to their full potential. And so what Brad and I are talking about here is like throwing off the shackles of your self-limiting beliefs, really trying to overcome, you know, the challenges of sending you back, to let go of past trauma. So that way, when you go into the negotiation room, when you plan your business, when you deal with that customer and they give you feedback, that you don't bring that baggage in there with you, that you're free to just move forward into your genius, really try to strive and achieve your full potential. And Brad, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put it publicly. I really think you need to raise your goals, man. 110. Come on. 110. I'm trying to live to be
a million. A million. Oh, 110.
No, you want to live to be 110.
Yeah.
You got to raise that goal. I'm working on 300. So if I can get to 300, you can definitely get to 150.
So Daryl, two things you said I want to touch on. Number one is we are our own worst enemy. Most of the suffering in this world is self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Number two, you brought up sleep and people not sleeping. Well, Marissa Peer, one of my mentors, says sleep is an issue of the mind. So if you're not sleeping at night and you go to sleep with a racing mind, guess where that is? That's the childhood programming. That's your mind in fight or flight. As soon as, I can't tell you how many clients I had that had sleep problems. And as soon as they started working with me and I gave them some recordings to listen to, they're like, dude, I'm falling asleep before these recordings ever end. This is insane.
That is
so
cool.
There's like countless benefits that come from doing this work.
Yeah. 100%. And that's why I wanted to bring you on the show and talk about this, because although it's not only mindset, it is a critical component. I did martial arts, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for a number of years, and I saw people lose matches before they even started fighting. They would look at the guy across the mat at them and they just crumbled. And so the mind is such a critical component. If you're running a triathlon and your mind gives up, your body will not carry you the rest of the distance, right? Now there's a reality to it. If you didn't train in that, your mind may not, you may force yourself to keep going, but your body won't withstand the punishment. So there's a reality, it's a yin yang between mental and the reality, like the mental state and the physical world have to marry together. But a lot of people overlook it. And so I'm so grateful that you came and shared with us today. For those of you listening,
yeah, thank you.
You may want to go back and listen to this call again. There was a lot of good nuggets here. There was a lot of actionable items yourself. If you haven't, go check out bradchandler.com. Go get the free emotional tracker at bradchandler.com/tracker. Brad, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you have your own following. You got your own people to help. And I just really appreciate that you came and helped share some love with my audience.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome.